I'm Kevin Middleton.
And I'm Samantha Berg. And this is The Bridge to Everywhere.
Hello, welcome to the show, everyone. This is The Bridge to Everywhere. I'm Kevin Middleton, and I'm here with Samantha Berg. Tonight, we have Father Christopher Stanton joining us. He's joining us on the show for the second time. We're going to talk about reconnecting to life after loss. And the fact is, we're all going to die, you know, and it's a very difficult thing to take in, the fact
of... And everything changes. So there's a lot of letting go that everyone has to do all throughout their life, not just when people die.
And some of the themes that we're going to cover in this conversation, we're going to talk about the common pattern of life before, during, and following a loss. We'll talk about the three stages of loss and maybe identify the coping skills that actually can prevent us from living. And we'll talk about the role feelings play in loss and our recovery. And then we'll talk about how loss and its relationship to stress and anxiety.
Great. So before we introduce Father Christopher, I just want to say this is actually a momentous occasion because he is a repeat guest. I know you mentioned that it's his second time, but I really want to, it's our second time with Father Christopher on the show, and we're very excited about that. So that's a big deal. It's our first guest who actually came back. So we're celebrating right now. So that's not a loss. On the other hand, we are so excited that we have a grief counselor here this evening because actually we just watched the episode of Doctor Who where our two favorite characters died.
Amy
and Rory from Doctor Who, anybody out there who's a sci-fi fan, Amy and Rory just died. And they've been with the show for 2.5 years. And Kevin, I can't breathe personally. So we actually need to do some grief. I'm giggling, but really it's actually been a tough day. We're mourning the loss of our two favorite characters on Doctor Who. So we're gonna have a lot of questions for you about that. Because even though it's not, you know, these are characters, but they're not technically real, but it's some aspect of our lives that we have to move on.
Well, yeah, it reminds us that everything that's around us that we take as solid, you know, and provides a sense of security and stability is ultimately going to dissolve.
And a lot of those things are ideas. You know, again, we're joking. I mean, there are serious, you know, people lose loved ones and they lose things and they lose aspects of their lives. They lose, you know, parts of their body. But, you know, a lot of what people lose are actually ideas about things. Mm-hmm. So we could definitely talk about that. So I just want to introduce Father Christopher to our audience for the second time. So the Reverend Christopher Stanton is an ordained Russian Orthodox priest and a board-certified chaplain focused on the healing of the living soul. Trained in Eastern Orthodox Christian theology, mental health, and addictions counseling, and clinical pastoral care, Father Christopher brings a unique and comprehensive approach to his talks and individual sessions. He has pastored parishes and worked in clinical settings for a decade and a half and is currently serving at St. Innocent Cathedral in Anchorage and is the founder of the Academy for Spiritual Healing. Father Christopher is an annual presenter for Alaska Center for Acupuncture, and he's spoken to varied groups such as the Alaska Counseling Association, the Paris Nursing Program, and the Clinical Pastoral Education Program at Providence Alaska Medical Center. And we just want to give Father Christopher a little plug. He's going to be speaking at Alaska Center for Acupuncture. That's right in the Kozlowski Center, right above Vagabond Blues, and he'll be there Thursday, October 25th from 7 to 8:30 p.m., and we'll be going a little bit more into the topic of reconnecting to life after a loss.
Right. And one more plug is he's going to be running a month-long workshop called The Foundations for Building a Healthier Relationship with Yourself. And we'll talk a little bit more about that towards the end of the show, but that's going to be coming up starting on October 5th, and it'll run through November
16th. And that's a fabulous class, and so
everyone who's taken that so far, we've talked to, has mm-hmm. loved it. And we've seen the precursor or sort of the prelude to this full workshop when he's done an evening.
Yeah, so I highly recommend it to everyone out there, so definitely take a look at that. And is that on our website? I can't remember, but if it's not, we'll put it up on our Facebook page at least.
We'll have it on Facebook.
And it'll go out in our newsletter as well. Okay, so welcome, Father Christopher. Great to have you here.
Thank you very much. Good to be here again.
Uh-huh. Yeah, for a second time.
So leading in, what can you kind of say, just introducing us into this topic of loss and finding our way through?
It's when, before we started the show, we took this picture. and describe this picture that we took. As Kevin walks in, he says, well, we always have some kind of a thematic. You know, we talked about farming, we had a carrot. He talked about yoga, we did a pose. And he says, well, what should we do? And so I put my hand over my mouth, my ears, and my eyes. And that is kind of our approach as a culture, as a society around loss. You know, speak no evil, see no evil, hear no evil. Nobody talks about it. Nobody wants to talk about it. It's a very painful aspect in part of our lives. Although there's not a single one of us living that's listening to this program that has not experienced a loss. And yet we don't talk about it. And yet it's a part that just kind of seems to just sit in the background. Although when I talk to people, people will bring it up. You know, I can be in a grocery store and somebody, you know, just get into a conversation about the groceries in front of us and somebody will bring it up. And that's just how prevalent it is in our culture and society.
So, you know, there's a real need for it, for the opportunities to discuss loss in our culture. It just doesn't necessarily exist. So people are so desperate in a way to speak about it that they're gonna find a way to get that into the conversation somehow. Yeah.
Right. Let me define a loss, though, for a second, because as you were, you know, giving us the precursor of what we're talking about today, you know, we're talking about the loss of a person, loss of identity, a loss of ideas, a loss of functionality. People ask, you know, well, I had one case where a gentleman was clearly depressed, came into a mental health, you know, facility, had no idea why he was depressed. The staff knew he was depressed, but had no idea why he was depressed. I'm doing my grief and loss group, the same one I'm going to do, you know, with you on the 25th. Mm-hmm. I'm doing this group. And I talk about pets. And this gentleman looks at me and he goes, pets? I said, yeah, pets. Pets can be a loss. You know,
wow.
Of course, you know, of course they can be a loss. And the story goes on from there. But the definition I like to use for loss is someone or something genuinely important to us that's been taken out of our life and we couldn't stop it. Someone or something genuinely important to us that's been taken out of our life and we couldn't stop it. Thus, your two characters on Doctor Who.
Yeah, that is Amy and Roy.
Because it is genuinely, these are two characters that have created themselves a relationship in your life that you have opened your hearts to over the last 2 years or so that they've been, you know, and experienced the joys and the terrors and the excitement and the, you know, cliffhangers, and now they're gone. And we find ourselves with these holes. And that really is the bottom line of a loss. That's the issue of the loss, is these holes.
It's interesting, the thing you said about, and you couldn't stop it, so there's an element of control. And,
There's an element of lack of control.
Yeah, that's what I, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And the other piece that you said, when to have that guy ask, you mean a pet can be a loss? And I think there's a lot of that in our culture about, well, I should or I shouldn't feel. Mm. And so like, you know, it seems to, from where I'm sitting, it seems kind of insane that you would have to ask, well, is it okay that I'm actually feeling grief about this? And I remember one of my teachers has a story about grief and loss with a patient that she'd taken on. And the patient actually came into her office because her loss was, and I'm not joking, with her loss was that they had changed a nail polish line. And the color of nail polish that she was accustomed to using had gone away.
Yes.
And that was the biggest loss that she'd experienced up to that point. And that's why she got into treatment with my teacher. Fortunately, she happened to be in treatment with my teacher when she experienced another huge loss, which happened to be that she and her boyfriend went to a party that had already been underway. And they were the only people who were sober enough at the party to notice that someone had actually OD'd in the bathroom. Mm. And they took them to the hospital, and the person actually died once they were in the hospital. And then she and her partner were charged with the person's murder.
Wow.
So it's just interesting, like, on the spectrum between, you know, my favorite nail polish color is gone and I'm grieving that, to all of the losses that she had to grieve, you know, on the other side. I'm really glad that my teacher was there to help guide her through that, because obviously, you know, up to that point she hadn't experienced that level of grief and loss, but she had experienced grief and loss, and it's different for everyone.
Right. Every situation is unique, but the experience of a loss is common. You know, and so the process of grieving, which is the healing from a loss, is is the same process, even though every loss is unique, that the process is the same. And so I don't use the word different. You know, mm-hmm. People have different losses. No, we all have unique losses. Nail polish line, those of us, I don't wear nail polish, you know, personally. But you identified it. This is the color that she had been using for a long time. This is the color that she has identified with herself. This is her color. There's an identity piece there, right? You know, and the identity of a color versus the identity of freedom, being charged with, you know, the murder of a person, et cetera, and there's you know, loss of freedom in that mm-hmm. process.
Right.
And I mean, the losses are unique, but the process of attending to them, of grieving, is the same, is the same process.
Yeah. Interesting. So one could really be quite trivial in the scheme of things, and another be, you know, the largest incomprehensible challenge of one's life, but yet there's going to be some kind of element of similarity of the process.
Absolutely.
Right. I'm sure the word trivial, I mean, you know, what may be trivial to me, I mean, one of the things we do have to respect is that, you know, from my perspective, the loss of a nail polish line might not be a big thing, but for somebody who's never experienced a loss. I
mean, or experienced the loss of a character on
right,
a television
right,
show.
Yeah,
now
I mean,
there
I'm not,
we're talking
not
about
trivial. Yeah, I mean, like who are we, just who are we to define trivial? I mean, that, and I think that really is part of it too, is that often, I mean, I hear people saying, well, get over it. It's been 2 weeks. It's been 2 months. It's been 2 years. It's been 20 years. You know, get over it, get past it. Somebody else defines what's trivial for you, and somebody else defines how long you should take to get over that loss. You know,
right.
and that's why you have people asking, wait, is this okay for me to you're experiencing what you're experiencing. You know,
exactly.
That's the first thing that you have to do, right?
Exactly. It's the process of just experiencing a loss is to simply give yourself permission that I have experienced what I've experienced, and it means what it means to me. Mm-hmm. And to give ourselves permission to do that, because when we talk about triviality only exists in a person not experiencing that loss.
Right.
Hmm. You know, and even if a person experiencing a loss, like this gentleman I was talking about with his pet, it's just a pet. It's just an animal, right? I mean, we're not talking about a loved one or a parent. We're just talking about an animal. And yet the depth of relationship, that person had to actually give themselves permission to acknowledge the relationship that they had built with this animal. You know? And it was a dog. So it was a gentleman, it was a dog. And we're talking about a man's best friend here.
Yeah.
You know? And so triviality only exists outside of that experience of loss. You know, so the person who experiences loss of a character, even in a book. I'm sure there are listeners out there who have read a book, and in the middle of it, a character dies. I mean, it's in a book. It's not like they've spent a lot of time, you know, but just the depth of the character of a book dies or, you know, and cries. And somebody can say, oh, what are you, you know, moping about or crying about? Oh, so good. It's our own experience, and to give ourselves the permission that we need, you know, to experience, to feel what we feel. And that's the important part.
Yeah, and we have got a cat that who died a few years ago, and she was literally loathed by people on both sides of the country. She attacked everyone that we knew. You know, she was nobody's favorite cat, except, you know, she was a cat only a mother could love, and so nobody really understood when she died. Like everybody we knew breathed a huge sigh of relief, and you know, so nobody could really understand. You know, it was a huge loss for us to lose this cat. So
right.
Felix, we still miss you.
Yeah, we were grieving alone on this one.
we were definitely alone, but I mean, I think that's part of it too, is that when you feel like nobody understands what you're yes. going through, and that can shut you down more, because you feel like every place you go to try to express your grief, well, nobody's going to really get it, because they didn't feel the same way about this particular thing
right.
that I did. And so but when you speak about it from the place that you're talking about it, everybody's experienced loss. So I may not be able to understand your unique loss, but I can understand loss, and
right.
so I can talk to you about it.
Right. And, you know, that's an important piece there. People will come to me as a pastor and as a chaplain, and they'll say to me, you know, Father, I have a loved one, a friend, a family member, somebody who's experienced a loss. I want to help them, but I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. And there's always to say there's nothing you can say to make it better, et cetera, et cetera. And what you just said, Sam, it makes it really important. The reality is, I don't know what you've experienced, but I know what the experience is. And there's the distinction. You know, so I don't know what it means for you to lose your cat, but I know what it means to lose something or someone that's genuinely important to me. And so with that understanding, what I can say to you is, I know what it's like to experience a loss. Would you tell me what it's like to experience the loss of your cat? What has it been like, right? What does that, you know, what does that loss mean? Those kind of words allows then the person to make real the lost one in their life. And that's the beginning of healing, is that process. But that's what we can do. That's how we can reach out to each other's lives. You know, is we don't have to understand a parent who loses a child, right? You know, or a spouse who loses their partner. Whatever these, you know, a child who loses a parent, these kind of things. You know, some of us, we've never experienced that. And so when we're faced with it with a friend or a family member, we kind of get stuck. But the reality is we've all experienced loss. Mm-hmm. We've all experienced that pain and that emptiness and the fear of what now? You know, and so we can open our hearts up to those people and say, I've experienced, I've been there. Tell me what it's like for you to be there. That process.
In a way, it's a very gentle invitation to move through pain that might be almost impossible for a person to approach on their own.
Right, right. It is pain that's within us has to come out. Right? No pain that we experience internally will ever resolve itself until it becomes external. And that's the purpose of the pain. And we'll get into a little more of what is that process a little later on, I'm sure. Okay. But that's really, it has to be it. And that's why we're such a community. That's why we are a bridge to everywhere, according to this show. because we've all experienced it. And so we all have the ability to make those connections, those bridges to everywhere, to everyone, to allow them to experience, you know, healing.
It's interesting because that really brings open our own humanity. You know, that it does seem to access, we basically by making it real and by being with people authentically and connecting to what their situation is, making it real, understanding how that is for me, there's a genuineness and authenticity in the human interaction and really this deeper capacity for brotherhood or sisterhood. Right. And community can emerge.
Right.
And it's not about knowing what to say. I think that's I hear a lot of fear from people saying, well, I don't know what to say. Right. You know, I don't know what, and I'm afraid to ask the question. And, you know, I see so many people who are grieving, they want to talk about it. You know, they really do want to express it. And so, but I think people have this fear of asking the question the right way or saying it wrong or, you know, and because a lot of times when people first have a loss, there is a lot of anger around it to create that space. And so they're sort of trepidatious about tiptoeing up to the person. And that, I think sometimes that creates more anger and frustration for the person on the receiving end of that, because they've got somebody who's tiptoeing around them and acting kind of weird and uncomfortable. Right. And they know that they know what they're thinking. They're thinking, should I ask this person about this loss that they've had?
Right. It's the friend, the family member is tiptoeing around feeling awkward. Well, the person who's experienced the loss is also feeling awkward. It's just simply accentuating the awkwardness
exactly,
in that sense.
Yeah.
The ability simply to say, I'm sorry to hear that, ... that your loss of this kind of thing. You know, do you want to, you know, and we can say, do you want to talk about it? You know what the answer is? No.
No.
No, nobody wants to talk about it. That's the, you know, that's the monkey thing on the picture, right? You know, and nobody's going to speak about it. Nobody wants to see it. Nobody wants to hear it sort of idea, you know, especially from themselves. It's really the invitation of, tell me about that person. As a priest and a chaplain, again, I've spent a lot of time around death. And I could walk into a hospital room. I could, you know, and I see, and it could be somebody I've never met. I don't even know this family, but as a priest, you know, if they're Russian Orthodox, they, you know, call me up, and I'm the priest, I go. You know, and I've done that here to the, you know, the Valley Hospital. I show up, and I've never met this family before, but I'm father, I'm priest. So they're fine with me because, you know, I represent every priest in the, you know, world. But I walk in, and I can be standing there. I look at the departed loved one. I look at the responses from the family, and I can simply say, tell me about this person. Who's dad? Who is brother? Who is sister? Who is, you know, who's girlfriend? Who's, you know, husband? I mean, who is this? Tell me something about them. I never asked them, do you want to tell me about them? Because the answer is no, because they're really in pain. I said, so tell me about them. You know, who is this person? Or I'll look at them and you know, they'll have a strength about them, or there'll be a kindness about their face. You know, they'll be very grandmotherly. And I'll just say that. Wow, she really looks, you know, grandmotherly. She kind of looks a little stern, I'll say, you know. And there's usually a laughter. And then the stories follow. It invites, it gives people the in.
So your own comfort, really, with death has creates a certain space and an ease for others to sort of inviting them into being comfortable with that and speaking openly.
It's the comfort around relationship. Mm. You know, people don't have to be comfortable with death. They simply have to be comfortable with relationship. Because a nail polish color, to take it away from the person, because we, you know, it's easy to talk about people, but you take a nail polish color. Talk to me about that color. Talk to me about the relationship you have with this color. What's this color mean to you? What was it? You know, was this your vibrant red, right? This was the confidence color that you wore to an interview or to work. You know, those kind of things. You know, talk to me about the relationship, and that's all it takes on a helper standpoint. Is to open up the conversation to allowing the person who's experienced the loss, tell me about the relationship, whatever it was, the person in the bed, tell me the color, the character on TV, you know, tell me about the relationship. Who or what were they in your life?
And that's ultimately the connection, right? It's yes. The relationship that you had, and that's, again, like what you said, that's really what it is that you're losing.
Yes.
Is that connection, it's that relationship, that's what's being lost.
Right. You know, when my mother died, oh gosh, at this point, 20 some odd years ago, something like that? About 20 years ago. I make the point saying, on the day that my mother died, I didn't lose my mother. Right? I didn't lose my mother's life. She did. What I lost was my relationship with my mother in the way it was. And that's the important part. That's the piece. That's the whole. Is what I lost was not my mother, not my life. Right? I lost my relationship with my mother in that way. And there's the whole. You know, and holes don't, we don't do well with holes. You know, I mean, we think about it. We just think about, you ever told a joke and forgot the punchline?
Mm-hmm.
What'd you do for the rest of the day? Thought about the punchline, right? Having a conversation and the word wouldn't jump off your lips? Sometime around 3 in the morning, you woke up and said, indescribable! And the person next to you goes, what? You're like, never mind. We are stuck. And that's the that's the problem with loss, is we get stuck in that sense because of those holes.
And is that whole essentially an avoidance of the pain that something stops?
The whole is the loss of my relationship, and I'm going to use my mom again, the loss of my relationship with mom in that way. Well, the whole is how else? I don't know how to relate to my mom in a different way. And that's the process of grieving. That's the process that we need to learn as we learn to grieve, is how do I relate to my mom in a different way? And so that whole then is how do I, you know, I lost this relationship, but I still know, I mean, it's still there with me. I can remember her and I know her name and all this. How do I put her back together? How do I put her back into my heart? And that's really where the whole comes from, because the pain is felt in the heart.
Yep,
that chest area.
Beautiful. I love that image. Just thinking about it from that way, it's like they're somehow, it feels like that person is gone, but the healing is like they sort of come back to you, and you realize in a sense that they never were gone. I tell this story about my dad died. I guess it's been like 14 or 15 years now, and I remember knowing that things were okay when it was actually September 11th when that happened. September 11th, I found out about the towers falling, and my dad's store had been very close to where the towers were. And my first thought was about my dad, even though it had been at that point 4 years since he died. My first reaction was, oh my God, I hope my dad's okay. And then I thought, oh no, he's fine, he's dead. And I realized that I was on the road to healing at that point, because I recognized that he's fine, he's dead, you know. And so my relationship with him was coming from a different place. Like, I could see that everything was okay.
Right.
And so, you know, and I was like, wow, that was interesting. Like, there was some, I could see the shift that had happened over 4 years.
Yes.
So on that note, what are the stages of loss?
There are three stages of loss that I look at. And I'm going to preempt that with, people will come up and they'll say, oh, there's five. And usually that comes from Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. And that, her work was with people who are losing their own life. Mm-hmm. What the work that I do is that I am losing something outside of me. You know, so that's the difference. So I see three stages. The first stage is the loss, is the relationship. The second stage is the process of how we rebound from that. You know, kind of those negative coping skills that preserve our sanity. Because when someone or something genuinely important to you gets taken out of your life, how do you put your life back together? Right? There's something missing, which technically is me. You know, and the third stage is grieving. How do I? It's putting it. You know, it's putting me back together. And those are the three stages that we need to go through as we heal, you know. And in every stage, all three of those stages are valuable to know. A lot of people don't want to deal with all the negative stuff, you know. What did you do? I turned to drinking. And what did you do? I turned to work, you know. What did you do? I, you know, turned to exercise. I don't want to talk about that anymore. I'm ready to grieve. It's like, no, those are important things. And so all three of those stages are you know, essential to take a look at in that process.
Well, what would be the common pitfalls? People, I mean, you know, when they're grieving, I mean, I think in some ways, and what we've seen in our own clinical practice, there's a sense of, geez, shouldn't I be over this yet by now? And the grieving has gone on, but in different ways as time unfolds, over a year or even over several years.
Right.
So that third stage seems to be fairly complex. And
yes.
I just wonder if there's anything you can say about that, maybe pitfalls or and even some of the treasures that are found along the way.
The biggest pitfall is what you're talking about, is time. We have a saying in our culture, time heals all things. It's a lie. those of us who work in the businesses, we get it. Time only does one thing. And if you stare at your clock, you're going to realize what it does. The only thing time does is pass. That's all it does. You can experience a pain and watch the clock, and it's not because the clock is ticking does the pain go away. It's not because the clock is ticking that my heart is healed. So time doesn't heal anything, really. Although it does take time to heal. And that's the thing that we have to allow ourselves.
So what you're saying is there is a process that one has to move through.
Yes.
But the time that you move through that process, you can't say that a certain amount of time I'll move through this stage and then I'll move through that stage. And, hey, I want this to be done by now. Didn't I spend enough time in this stage?
Yes.
Haven't I already put in my time? Shouldn't I be better now?
Right, we're back
to the time. It
doesn't
work that way.
Right.
Yeah.
So it takes the time that it takes. So there's a time function, but it's not purely the result of time passing.
No. It takes time to heal, and that's the important understanding, which goes back to that permission giving. I have to give myself permission to heal and allow the time that it's going to take, you know, to do that. And that's difficult because there are so many constraints. You know, in a past job, if I were to break my leg, I would get 6 weeks off to get it healed. But if I lost my mother, I was given 3 days before you had to be back at work. Which is worse, right?
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Give me the broken leg.
And this is, and I,
go ahead and break my leg. What I would do is I would just have somebody break my leg. And
right.
I get,
you know,
6 weeks off.
I imagine this is where some of the coping skills, you know, just to survive, get put in place.
Right.
And then only something you have to overcome later.
It is. It creates a vicious cycle when we talk about those coping skills. That's something we'll get to the second part of our program, I'm sure.
Great. Well, you're listening to The Bridge to Everywhere. We're here with Father Christopher Stanton. We're talking about reconnecting to life after loss. Join us in just a few minutes to continue.
Community radio is what you make it. If you'd like to be involved with Radio Free Palmer 89.5, Big Cabbage Radio, find us on radiofreepalmer.org. That's radiofreepalmer, one word, .org.
Palmer Downtown Deli provides free Wi-Fi in an informal, casual, conversational environment, or for just individual solace. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner dishes, wraps, specialty sandwiches, soups, or desserts, including gelato Italian ice cream, are offered along with coffee, espresso, tea, specialty waters, or drinks. Music Arts performing live can be enjoyed every Saturday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. A comprehensive summary of Palmer Downtown Deli's menu options can be found at palmerdeli.com, and phone orders at 745-4100 are available as well. The Palmer Downtown Deli is located on South Alaska Street. The Palmer Downtown Deli, supporting community connectivity and community radio.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to The Bridge to Everywhere. I'm Samantha Berg, and I'm here with Kevin Middleton and Father Christopher Stanton. And today we're talking about reconnecting to life after loss. So what we thought we'd do is just go back into the three stages of grief that Father Christopher was talking about, and then we'll kind of work our way into some of the topics we talked about earlier in the show from there. And I do, just for listener's sake, because I know you made that comparison to Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's work versus your work, could you just give us her five stages of grief so people can hear it? I think that you can't do it.
There is, and everybody's familiar with it. And again, yeah, it's not the work that I
right.
do. It's the process. Dr. Kubler-Ross was dealing with people who were losing their own lives, and that is a different process. And people will talk about the disbelief, the denial piece, you know, and then the anger, and then the bargaining. And then there's another
acceptance.
One, and then there's
yeah.
acceptance.
I just want people
at the
to hear that as the right. difference, because I think that's when most people hear talk about grief, that's all they know.
Right.
So I just want to make the distinction for people. So it's that it's denial, anger,
bargaining. You know, God, if I do this, you're gonna come
right.
in over here, sort of that
right.
bargaining.
Yeah.
There, and then I think there's a despair. You know, mm-hmm. we just kind of throw up the card sort of idea, yeah. and then an acceptance.
Right, and I just want to make that distinction because I haven't actually heard anybody make that distinction with her work. I mean, every time I've heard her work spoken about, it really hasn't been specific to my loss of life. I've kind of thought of it as loss in general, so it's really good to bring that out so people
yeah.
can see that
right.
difference. So, okay, so let's go back into the three stages from your perspective.
So the difference that I look at is the process of me losing someone or something genuinely important to me, so I'm still around, right? But I couldn't stop it. It's that process going through that piece. The first stage of this is the loss itself. And when people talk about a loss, they never talk about, usually never, you know, you can say never and then somebody will do it. You know, they hardly ever talk about the moment of the loss. You know, the people will hardly ever talk about the last breath, or the end of the show, they usually begin talking about the things that they miss about that person or thing. And so what I identify with the loss, the first piece that we have to connect to, is the life that we lived with that person or thing. You know, the life of ours that this person or thing entered into and was a part of the creation of. You know, so when I talk about the loss of my mom, it's not that I lost my mom. And because here's the pitfall that comes from this. And you may, you may run into this. Have you ever run into somebody who was lost because of a loss? A spouse of 60 years loses their partner, and all of a sudden they're lost. Mm. And they can't find themselves again because they've identified this problem with something outside of themselves. And that partner's not coming back, right? Or the loss of a spouse. And they've identified the problem, the pain, with something outside of themselves, the loss of this spouse. And that spouse doesn't have to come back. And so people fall into the pitfall of the victim. You know, there's nothing I can do because if that person, if that person will come back, then I'll be better. Or if that will change, then I'll be better. And that's not guaranteed. And that's kind of the first pitfall. The reality is what I've lost is my life in relationship to this person or thing. My life has changed with their kind of exclusion from it in that sense. And so once I realize that's really the problem,
wow,
then I realize who's in charge of the answer. It's me, right? Because if it's my life, I'm still breathing. And that's the difference, you know, is that I'm breathing throughout this whole thing, you know, where it's not at some point I'm going to stop breathing through this thing. You know, and it's that process that it's my relationship with my mom that I lost. Well, I'm still breathing, so I'm still in charge of doing something about it. So there's the first hope, too. I mean, so there's the first pitfall, but yet the first hope. Is that if we've lost something and we feel stuck, the reality is we have the tools sitting right within us to begin to heal this process.
And I've seen that show up often where people are, it's almost like they're wandering around in circles. It's like, you know, they look in the refrigerator, there's nothing in there they want to eat. They turn on the TV, there's nothing there that they want to watch. They go to bed, but they're not tired and they can't sleep. They get in the car, but they don't know where to drive. There's like this whole sense of like nothing makes sense anymore. And there isn't like, who am I and where am I and where did my life that was orderly and make sense, what just happened to it?
Right.
That's a lot like how you were yesterday after watching the last episode.
Yeah, but I don't know how long it's going to last. But yeah, that's actually the feeling. It's like that. That's why I did a really good job of describing it. Because I'm right there. I get that. But for most people, like I know that it's a show character and I know that I think that some of it too is that I know this too shall pass. So, and I've experienced it before. So I've had loss before. So I know what this is. And I can identify with it and say, this is what happens when I experience a loss, and I know that I'm going to get through it. So it's okay.
Now, in the first piece that we've identified with this first segment of this loss and grief process is feelings, right? It's the feeling. And so what we've been talking about is the difference between two feelings. One is lonely, the other one being lonesome. See, if I'm lonely, I can just go find my family and friends and hang out with them, and it's cured. I'm okay. But there's times when we feel lonely, we go find our family and friends, and we're still lonely. Hmm. And that's the feeling of lonesome. I'm missing the lost one. That's what I'm missing. That's what so I go to the refrigerator, but I'm not hungry. I go to bed, but I'm not. I mean, all of a sudden, the reality is it's not outside of me. What I'm missing is this hole that's been formed inside of me, and that's what keeps me awake and hungry and all of these things. You know, that's what. But it's all identified through feelings, and the feelings contain the stories of our relationship with the person or thing that we've lost, and that's why it's so key. And yet, the feelings also contain the pain that we're running away from, that seems to want to overwhelm us in the very beginning. You know, those feelings are kind of the savior and the devil all at the same time, because it's the feelings that contain the stories that are our relationships, and that's how I get my relationship back. But yet those feelings contain the energy, which is the actual cause of the pain that we experience, and so it's the process of realizing that. You know, most of us run away. That takes us to the second stage of a loss. Most of us want to run away from that pain. Mm-hmm. And so we turn to just about anything or everything that's going to make us feel different.
And you talk about how there are things that are culturally acceptable to, like, exercise.
Exercise.
You know, somebody
work.
who yeah, exercise and work, that's okay. Well, right. He just threw himself into his work. He'll be okay.
That's right.
Or, yeah, or you know, she just needs to go out and run 15 miles.
Right. But, you know, I want to ask, I mean, how do you face directly on into a pain that is that vast? Really something that is, I mean, you know, I've lost loved ones, you know, and I... you know, I definitely go into denial all the way. I mean, in the dying process, I mean, I cannot really accept that this person is dying until they're actually dead. I just can't surrender that. Well, you know, something might, you know, rally, you
and,
know.
But I do exactly the opposite, though.
They're dead before they're dying, right?
Yeah. I mean, well, it's interesting. When we were talking about my dad, I mean, like, I remember seeing him the day before he died, and we had flown from Alaska overnight to try to get to New York to be there, you know, before he died. And I saw him, and I remember running out of the room just crying and sobbing because I looked at him and I knew that, you know, he wasn't going to make it, you know, like 24 right. hours to go. And Kevin was like rallying, like, it's okay, he's going to be all right.
Well, I don't know if I said that, but I wasn't ready to write him off. I was like, well, you know, hey, anything could happen and let's just really be here to support him.
But that's just, that both of us have that's like my way is going like, you know, just being okay, this is going to happen and I need to get ready for it and to deal with it. And his way is like, it hasn't happened until it's happened. But both of those are just two coping strategies. And they they don't exactly. It's not like one of them's better than the other.
No.
It's just like that's just one pattern. Like one person does one thing and one person does the other thing, but neither one is better. It's just our way of our particular coping mechanism
right.
for the death.
Right. And it is. It's both sides of the pendulum. Right? On the one side, hey, we've got this hope. And the other side, there is no hope and we're good. You know, that's fine. Because the problem is not on either side. Because one is the certainty over here of, you know, there's no hope. And the other one is the hope that, you know, and the energy that goes with that, the you know, that kind of uplifting energy, you know, we got on both sides. The real issue is, what am I doing with Dad right now? And the answer is nothing, because it's painful, you know. Because right now, he's still alive, but he's not who he's been. He doesn't look like what he's looked like. You know, I mean, all of those changes.
Yeah.
And so that is kind of, again, there's that pitfall again, is the process is not death or life. The process is relationship. And what does my relationship look like right now with? And I'll tell you the story. I had a gentleman, older gentleman, older than middle age, but younger than old age, you know, which is 70, by the way. So if you're over 70, you can just sneer at me next time you see me and I'll get it. That's just my own thing. But, you know, so he was in the, you know, let's say early 60s, and he was in the hospital. His wife was actually the patient, and he had come into the spiritual care office where I was working at the time, and it was kind of after hours, and there was a knock on the door. I answered it, and he was kind of a stout, powerful, manly kind of gentleman, and he comes in, and he just breaks down, and I'm kind of, wow, okay. So I sit him down and I wait for him to kind of clear a little bit, and I ask him, I say, what's going on? And he tells me, my wife has just gotten the diagnosis, it's cancer, she has so many hours, days, months, whatever, to live, and I don't know what to do. And my response was, don't worry about the hope, don't worry about the despair. Your wife is alive, breathing, recognizes you, all of those things right now. He's like, yeah. I said, good. Then go up there, have a good cry first, because that begins to clear the air. Go up there, be okay with, I'm scared, I'm disappointed, I'm hurt, I'm afraid, you know, these kind of things. And I love you. And this is why I love you. And begin to tell your wife why you are going to miss her. What has it been in your life? To, you know, that's going to cause this missing, you know, this pain. And allow her to do the same, because she's afraid and she's disappointed and she's angry and she, you know, and there's neither of you are feeling anything different. Excuse me. You know, but allow the relationship. I said, what you have right now, and let's say I'm going to give her 4 weeks, right? She has 4 weeks to live. I said, what a fantastic thing to have this really important, you know, kind of potent moment that says, I've got 4 weeks with the love of my life. What am I going to do with it? Well, don't go play golf, you know. Spend those 4 weeks by her side. Spend the 4 weeks talking about the last 60 years together. spend those 4 weeks talking about the next 60 years together. You know, I mean, talk about the relationship and begin to grieve now. And that's the process. Start telling those stories. Because what it's going to do is, remember I talked about earlier, those feelings, and so we're now getting into the third stage, which is grief or grieving. It's the expressive life. Right? That's what's, how do I reconnect? Well, I begin to express what? I express this energy that's causing me pain, but through the expression of it, by telling the stories, I'm making my lost one real again. You know, that's the process. So he's going to go up there and he's going to make their relationship real. And she's going to make their relationship real. And that's what they're going to do until, you know, you can't tell me he's not going to get hit by a bus in the next 4 weeks. Right? I don't know if he's going to or not. He's going to get it. I mean, how many car accidents happen? Mm-hmm. You know, how many? I mean, this is Alaska. There are moose out there. You know, and they're coming down, right. You know, sort of idea. Life is uncertain. You can't tell me he's going to not, you know, he's going to be left without her. You know, I mean, and so they're making their life and their relationship real. And they're doing that and they're getting all this energy out. Right? And they're finding the peace by doing that. It's like holding your breath for a long time. All of a sudden your lungs hurt. There's the pain. The energy is the stored breath. The pain comes because it's stored, and that's not normal. But if you release it really quick, all of a sudden you're going to tell me, wow, I feel relieved. Ah, there's grieving. Mm-hmm. Haven't you ever had, or yourself said, had, you know, told somebody a story and felt a burden lifted? Mm-hmm. It's like taking this great exhale. The gentleman came back, actually, 2 months later, actually. She had just passed. So her 4 weeks turned into 8, 9, actually. And he came back with a smile. His wife had just died. And I'm thinking, okay, you know, what is this? He says, we have just spent the most glorious 9 weeks of our life.
Wow.
You know, and for him, his wife was as present to him in his heart at that moment as she was for the last 9 weeks, sitting face to face with each other. That he had put, in a sense, reordered that relationship into his heart. And so she was just as real. At that moment, standing in my office, thanking me for that interaction as he had been for the last 9 weeks before then.
And that's beautiful.
That's the piece. That's, you know, it's like, ah, that's how I know. You know, people say, well, how do you know this works? Because I have this old gentleman, right? Yeah.
And you're making me think about in Chinese medicine, you're talking about the lung and the exhale and the relief. In Chinese medicine, each organ is associated with a particular emotion, and there's a transformation that emotion has to move through. And what happens with grief is what they call it's appreciation in a way. There's this movement from this loss to appreciating what you have.
Yes.
And it sounds like he appreciated that relationship so much. Another word for it is the just is. It's the acceptance of what is. Like, you're just being in the moment with what really is, and you're not trying to push it away. You're not trying to make it other than it is.
Right.
So that's what you could use that word. And that grief is really the recognition from, this is Chinese medicine speaking. Grief is just the recognition that you had something precious and that you lost it. And so that movement from grief to appreciation is that initial pain that you feel, you wouldn't feel it if there wasn't something precious there.
Yes.
To grieve.
Genuinely important to us. Mm-hmm. Someone or something genuinely important to us was taken out of our life.
Yep.
And we couldn't stop it. But yet the appreciation, or what we would call gratitude, that process actually brings that relationship back. We use it's kind of a glib saying, count your blessings. Why do we do it? I mean, why do people say to do it? Because we bring to mind, to mindfulness in that sense, to those things that have happened that, you know, that make us feel grateful. Or in this case, talking about Chinese medicine, we've lost this very precious thing, and yet through the appreciation of it, we remember it. We bring it, in a sense, back to life within ourselves, not outside of ourselves, but within ourselves, actually where the relationship has always occurred. You know, and that can be a pitfall. The pitfall here is always remember the good stuff. Well, my mother was not a saint, although she was also not the devil incarnate. And so if I were to just remember the good stuff about my mom, would that make her whole? Would that make her complete as a relationship? Not at all. She pulled my hair when I was a young kid, you know? I mean, these kind of things. You know, there's always a swat or a, you know, a no or whatever it was, you know? And so without the complete picture, the appreciation of who she was as a human being in the fullness of it, then I don't get it back. I only get a part of that. I get a misrepresentation. Of it. And that's where a lot of people come. They'll say, well, you know, I've remembered all the good stuff, but I feel like there's something missing. I said, well, did they ever disappoint you? And they go, oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah. Talk to me about that one.
Right.
You know, tell me the other side of the story. Make them real. Make them complete.
And so in a way that there aren't little things that are lurking in the corner that we're kind of separating out and just living in a contrived sort of positivity, but really that the wholeness of that person, you know, is aired out, that,
yes.
that there's really space for reality
right.
to occupy your heart as
right.
you're grieving. But I wanted to ask a question that I wonder if, as somebody is grieving a loss, there is a transformational process that happens. And as one is coming back to themselves and yes. learning how to be in their lives without this person, it's a new way of relating to that person, but just not them being physically present.
Mm-hmm.
One can actually start to experience joy and
yes.
and start to feel extraordinary possibilities in their life they might not have seen beforehand. Can you yeah. say something about that and what the challenges of that are? And
right.
The,
right.
The
Let journey. Me tweak it just a little
mm-hmm.
bit, because what we haven't talked about is the loss of a negative relationship, right? So an abusive relationship, that's one. Or oftentimes what I run into is an abusive childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And the person is in this conundrum, and so finally they have broken free, they've become an adult, they've been able to move out on their own, whatever they can, and all of a sudden there's this hole called their childhood that shows up again, and they're like, I don't know what to do with it, because I don't certainly don't want that back, and I don't want them back, but I have this hole. And what is that process? And the reality is, again, back to, you didn't lose, you know, so I had an abusive father, let's say, okay? So you didn't lose, you know, I don't lose my abusive father. I was pretty happy to get rid of him. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, you know,
right,
and
right.
he can stay where he's at. You know, it's like, no, that's not the issue. It's not the person. What did I lose? That's genuinely important to me. Let's talk about, I lost my childhood. But yet, whose childhood is it? And I had a friend, who did exactly that. They had an abusive relationship, you know, growing up. It was a very terrible relationship, terrible parenting, lack of thereof, et cetera, et cetera. And I knew her in college and talking about, and she had met, you know, kind of the love of her life. And we were talking, and I asked her, I said, you know, are you kind of scared because, you know, you're looking at going on in your life? And she smiles and she says, you know, my childhood taught me exactly the parent I'm not going to be.
Mm.
My childhood told me exactly the parent that I'm going to be. What did I miss? Ah, that's what I'm going to provide. What did I need? Ah, that's who I'm going to be. You know, it's that process, that the transformation of a person regaining their childhood, the memories, good, bad, and indifferent, gives them the power, the joy, the kind of freedom to create the rest of their life. And when we talk about even a loved one, when I reincorporate all of the wisdom and all of the lessons and all of the relationship that that person was in my life, when I reincorporate that into my life by telling those stories, all of a sudden I go into my future with all that wisdom and all that experience, and all that ability. And that's the transformative piece, you know. And even, I wouldn't say this to traumatic memories, but to bad memories, even bad memories in that process can be transformed. You know, I tell the story of, usually when I grew up with two older brothers, and so three boys in the house, we destroyed things on a regular basis. And then when we would destroy it, we would go hide. And my mother always knew where I hid because I always hid in the same place. I was six, you know. And so my mother would get me and take me by the hair just above my ear, and she would drag me through the house to show me the decimation that I created, you know, because I knew what it was, but she just wanted to make sure I knew what the point was. Well, I remember going through the hallway that it really hurt that because, you know, you pull up, you know. And it wasn't that she was holding my hair. You could do it yourself. It's that she pulled up. Okay, so then as a six-year-old, I realized, hey, this hurts because she's pulling up. The next time, because I'm prophetic, and I was six, the next time I destroy something in my house, when she goes to do this, all I have to do is just lift myself up on my ankles, right? You know, and it won't hurt. Well, so there was a next time, and it didn't really take more than a week. I'm going through the hallway again, me and my mom, and that thought came to my mind. I thought, oh, right, put this into practice. So I just simply lift up on my ankles. Well, for a moment, it didn't hurt. Until as a six-year-old, I realized that the range of motion
She's
of my
taller.
Mother's, my mom's arm is a lot longer than my mom, yeah. than my ankles.
Yeah.
Well, so now not only does my head hurt, but now my ankles and my calves are killing me walking through the house to go see the decimation. Why are you laughing? It was painful and terrible. You know, and yet we do. And yet I can look back at that experience. At the time, it was painful and, you know, kind of traumatic. But now I laugh at it and I can see it for what it was. I see it in a different way. And that's the transformative piece. That's, in a sense, the joy that even a painful thing I can see in a different way. And it creates that sense of shared relationship.
Right, and new possibilities.
Right.
So we've got 5 minutes left.
And I actually have a question.
Yeah, and then, but we want to leave room for just a little bit of a summary of the workshop you're leading for the next 4 weeks.
I think we can cover my question. So the question is, another kind of loss that I see is it shows up actually when people get into new relationships. Yeah. Like a lot of people, you know, come to, I mean, it's like, you know, most of the time if you're over a certain age, let's say like over 14 or 15 years old, people have had relationships. You know, they've loved, they've lost, and they have pain from that loss. And, you know, we talked about for the various reasons in our culture, we don't necessarily make room for people to grieve those losses. And then we get into another relationship and we lose that. And we get into another relationship. And you have people who every time they get into a relationship and their heart opens, all that pain from the old relationship that never got resolved comes out.
Yes.
and then there's a lot of difficulty in that because some people will say, well, I don't want to get in a new relationship because I don't want to feel the pain of all the old unresolved relationships.
Right.
You know, so that often happens, or the feeling like, they don't know what to do with that. So what would you say about that particular scenario?
And that is so common of a scenario because, again, we're back to sayings. To live is to lose. You know, love and loss. You know, I'd rather love than not have loved at all, sort of idea. And the reality is. If I am in an intimate relationship and there's a loss in that relationship, until I'm able to resolve, grieve that relationship, every other relationship is going to be that relationship. You know, it's as a teenager, we talk about the rebound, you know, and most adults laugh because they do it still. You know, I'm dating Susie, I'm a jerk, Susie's smart, she breaks up with me. I date Betty, who do I want Betty to be?
Susie.
Betty gets smart. She can't be Susie. So she breaks up with me. I go with Abigail. Who do I want Abigail to be?
Susie and Betty.
Well, I'm not even thinking about Betty because I wanted Betty to be Susie. I'm back still as Susie.
Oh.
Do you see how the different pieces go? Until I grieve Susie, my relationship with Susie, look at the good things about it and look at the bad things about it, the things I want to repeat in a relationship and the things I don't want to repeat, the lessons I've learned and the hopes that I have. Until I do that, every relationship is going to be Susie in that instance, right? You know, but once I can do that, then it's the process of being able to learn, live, and go into a new relationship having to do that. Which brings
this
me
is a good segue.
A great
into,
segue.
Into,
yeah.
into
right
building
into,
a healthy self relationship.
Right into this class I'm starting on Friday, and it's going for the night. It's for 7 weeks starting Friday. And you can go to my website, Father Christopher, frchristopher.org, and you can look it up. It's building a healthy relationship with yourself. It's the process of how do I connect to myself to be available to others? How do I connect to my core to live a genuine and integral life? It's that process. It's coming from within the self. And connecting, what is that self, and who am I, and you know, when am I, and where am I, all that, you know, to be able to do that, in order to live a genuine or authentic life on the outside, out here, because I'm coming from in here, you know, inside, And that's in, so that starts Friday, and there are slots available for people to sign up.
And that's going to be at Dr. Stacy Lowe's office, Life Family Chiropractic, in the North Rim Bank building.
In Wasilla.
On Crucey Street, yes. And so people can call me. My phone number is on the website, frchristopher.org, and you can see that and call me to register. And so that's
great. And age range for that class?
18 and above.
Great.
Yeah, it really is an adult class.
Great. And that'll be in an hour and a half each Friday night, beginning this Friday, October 5th.
Correct.
So I think we're just about out of time. So, yeah. So is there any last moment, anything that you'd like to say about grief before we close the show this evening?
That we've all experienced, you know, just to normalize the process that we experience. You know, we all feel what we feel, when we feel, about what we feel. And just to give ourselves the permission to do that. And if there's something bothering, to find someone who's trained in listening, because we have stories to tell, to be able to tell those stories.
Great. Thank you.
Beautiful. And we'll go into more depth when you lead a little workshop in our office on October 25th. So you can check out alaskaacupuncture.com to see that workshop details. That'll be a free hour and a half workshop on grief.
Thanks for joining us. And next week, we'll be talking to the owners of Midnight Sun, a yoga center in Palmer, Ailish and Aaron, about yoga.
Have a great night, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us on The Bridge to Everywhere, broadcasting on KVRF 89.5 Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska. Like us on Facebook at Bridge to Everywhere to access more information, links and resources from our guests and show topics.